her ability to do anymore, because we have so many individuals, even elders, who are not living healthy lives, or who are not continuing those practices.
What's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening, wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Myself many times that this time would be the last time that I see you cry, but I kept trying and I caught myself lying a few times. I mean, my pride took me for a ride with no one else beside me, but me acting silly and so blind that I couldn't see. And yes, behind me no flaws, I'm free falling and gots to trust the process, but there are 6 million ways to grow, gots to choose one. Like today I wanted to run a 5K, but my app decided to fail me. It's what the screen displayed, and now I'm just kinda lele. Staring at the hour encrusted in my black mirror. As my blues grew darker, you were right there by the corner. You asked me to come back home and reconnect with yourself and share a meal with your loved ones. But I was
Travail ou pas sacrifice, l'idée la pour bail service. Ou important même Jacques, tout artiste qui gagne talent. Façon agir, façon parler, pas qu'à des pâmes. Sous siphon fait yon sel, pas qu'à n'en fait cartel. L'homme est brisé, yon jeune, c'est propre tête ou à préjeter. Tout soit pensé qui pas rien, qu'à plein yon panier. Pas m'en pose ou c'est récif, fort critique, le constructif. Comprendre après colonisation, nous tous besoin de thérapie pour nous former yon nation. Question moun pose, pas qu'à résilier. Tout qui s'a gagné haïtien qui fait pas les créoles l'école. Langou identifié ou, lycée identifié.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and on the air with us tonight, we have a student, technologist, and entrepreneur currently pursuing his MBA at the Wharton School in Philadelphia. In addition, he is building Gesture Shop, an online marketplace for one-of-a-kind digital gifts. Gesture Shop connects creatives with consumers to create a one-of-a-kind digital gift called Gestures. Gestures can be personalized songs, digital art, poetry, and more. Prior to this, he worked in consulting at Accenture working on cloud technology, and prior to that, founded a medical device startup building a melanoma detection device called the Scan. In his spare time, Rotimi Fadia loves playing sports, especially basketball. Rotimi Fadia, welcome to our show. Thank you so much for being here, for taking time. You are a man who's doing a lot of things. So, you know, taking the time to be with us, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be invited to be on Soul Perspectives. I'm looking forward to a really vibrant conversation today.
Yes, yes, yes. So we've had this pandemic that's been going on for a while now. And we gotta ask, you know, how has things been for you during this time? How has life kind of changed from the beginning of the pandemic until now?
That's a really good question. I think it's changed in a few ways. So if I think back to the start of the pandemic for me, I was living in Toronto, in Vaughan area, working in Toronto. And at the time I was working at Accenture. I was considering doing an MBA at the time. I was still actually going through interviews. So that was sort of my landscape at the time. I think the first phase of the pandemic, I'll call it sort of the year of 2020, was a lot of introspection. I had to make a lot of big decisions. So I moved home, moved back to Barrie, left my condo. So just getting readjusted to that, being at home with my sister, being at home with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I also had to make the big decision around school. So I've been applying to MBA programs. I had to make a decision around which school to go to, first of all. And then as the pandemic kind of progressed, I had to make a decision on whether or not to go to school at all. You know, it became obvious that an in-person experience wouldn't be possible that year. So that was another tough call. I ended up choosing to defer for a year and spend an additional year at home working. And that was when I sort of made the decision that I wanted to, you know, explore entrepreneurship again. That was where the idea of launching Gesture Shop also came from. So definitely 2020 was a year of decisions, big decisions. I think 2021 was a lot about change. I took time off work. So that was a big change for me after working pretty much nonstop for the last three-ish years. Mm-hmm. And then as the year went on, I ended up going back to work for a bit. I ended up then moving. And I think in the summer of 2021, I moved to Philadelphia. And so I started my MBA program. So definitely a lot of change. And then being here in Philly, pursuing my MBA, meeting a ton of new people, interacting with a ton of new experiences, traveling. It's been thrilling. And here we are now in 2022. And I guess the pandemic's still going on. So right. We'll see what this year holds. But I'm excited. I'm excited for what's to come.
So how has the experience been moving from Toronto, Ontario to Philadelphia? Like what has been some of the comparisons and contrasts between the two cities?
Mm-hmm. Another great question. I think I can take it in two sort of air ways. I think there's sort of like the objective differences between the two areas, and then there's also this objective just like moving to a different place and what that experience is like. So like objectively, I love my time in Toronto. I think Toronto is a wonderful city. I had a great time. I didn't live in Toronto for a lot of my time there, though. I mean, as many people do, I commuted from Vaughan for some of it. I commuted from even Barrie for some of it. And I lived in the city for some of it. So I have all these different perspectives on the city. But one of the things that I love about Toronto is just like, it's a big city, but there's so many what I consider just like novel, small, unique experiences all throughout the city. And I love that, like the ethnic diversity, the food culture there, just the different experiences that you can have, I think have made exploring Toronto and meeting people in Toronto absolutely amazing. And I did that mainly in the context of like work and post-work activities and weekend activities, right? So different than like growing up in the city. Mm-hmm. But it's been a wonderful experience. I think when I compare that to Philly, I'm coming in there at the context of a student, you know, going to school is a big thing. But one of the things that's really fun about Philly is Philly has a lot of culture. One of the areas that I've really gotten involved with and I've found absolutely stunning is the art community in Philly. I think it's absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. It's rich culturally. It's an old city. It's a very old city. Yeah. Like one of the first cities in the U.S. So you see a lot of history here, too. Like I remember coming here, spending time just going to some of the monuments, going to some of the sites and scenes, you know, seeing the Liberty Bell, learning about some of that history. There's a lot to this city. And there's a lot I haven't seen either. Like, I've only been here 4 months. Closer to 6 months at this point, actually. But still exploring, still learning, great food, great people, especially through school, a lot of terrific people that I've met. I think if I look at the other side from a personal perspective, I think moving in general always comes with a bit of an adjustment, right? Like meeting new people, being far away from your friend groups that you're used to.
Yeah.
So I'm learning and I'm adjusting through that process. But the community, the Wharton community, the Penn community is absolutely amazing. Met a ton of great people, and so that's been a really great transition.
Yeah. What's the attitude of the pandemic in Philadelphia, in the States, versus up here in Canada? Because up here, it's like we're constantly back and forth with, okay, now we're on lockdown. Now we're not on lockdown. Okay, now we have curfew. Here in Montreal, we curfew, no curfew. It just keeps going back and forth. What is the attitude or the general feeling of folks in Philly?
I see. I mean, it's definitely more free, more lax, more relaxed than it is. I remember actually when I first got here, like my first week here, was my first time going into like a bar in like 2 years, like almost 2 years, right? Like where like people weren't wearing masks. People were just like, for tight crowds, like you were shoulder to shoulder with people. Mm-hmm. So it caught me by surprise, I think, at first, especially coming from Toronto, where I think all my interactions up until that point had been just with people outside, either on a patio or in a park, right? Like small
social
groups.
Distancing.
Social distancing, yeah. Exactly, right? So that was a big adjustment. And I think the U.S. was just further ahead in that sense of like opening things up. They've been open for longer. They've been open more freely. I think when I went back to Canada, I think we're middle. I was back in Canada over the holidays, mm-hmm. just a couple months ago. And I think like some of that had caught up, but we're also in the middle of Omicron variant spike. So like that also sort of changes the dynamic. But I would say overall, like Philly is a lot more open, a lot more free. There are some additional restrictions now with vaccine mandates and masking inside, stuff like that. But overall, I think definitely the lockdowns that we had in Toronto and Ontario the last few months.
Absolutely. And so you have this company called The Gesture Shop. How long have you had this company up and running?
So I started Gesture Shop early 2021, late 2020, early 2021. Okay. So it's been, I guess, just over a year.
Okay. And how come you decided to create this business?
So that's a fun story. So the original idea actually like kind of percolated in my mind maybe a year or two before that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I think I sort of realized, I was like, man, I have a really tough time with gift giving, like thinking of gifts, giving people gifts, coming up with ideas. But the biggest thing I think I struggled with was like giving a gift that I felt communicated the sentiment that I wanted to communicate, that it said that I care, like here's something special, so here's something unique.
Okay.
Here's something like that you may not have seen before, right? Like I was like, how do I integrate all these elements into a gift? And I was terrible at it. I think I'm a bit of an overthinker. So
okay.
I would toil, I'd look on Amazon and online it didn't come naturally to me.
Okay.
And so my thought was like, how do you make this like easier for people? How do you make this experience easier for people? The original thought was like, could you make like an Uber for gift giving? Like, could you just make this experience as simple as like ride hailing? To some extent, right? Like, could you solve it to that level?
Yeah.
And so for a while, it didn't really materialize into anything.
Right.
But it was actually during the pandemic where I started to see like a few little patterns. Like one was like people were like finding really innovative ways to connect with one another. whether that was using Zoom calls and playing games or doing those drive-by like hellos or doing like graduations where family would drive by and drop things off. Like there were just really cool, innovative ways that people were connecting.
Yeah.
And people were also finding ways to connect digitally, which I thought was really cool. So there was this additional like dimension to communicating and what people value. I think the other thing that I noticed was like the creative community, artists, musicians, poets, writers, were in a really, really tough spot.
Yeah.
So a lot of the avenues in which that they typically like made money, sold their work, were sort of like not available to them at the time. And the third thing I noticed was just like people were really going to bat for their local community, supporting their local businesses and whatnot. And so bringing those ideas together was what became Gesture Shop, which is this platform where creatives local and globally could offer up their services, their unique creative talents to help other people who, like myself, who don't have those skill sets, who can't think that way,
mm-hmm.
to tell really amazing stories through their gifts. So that's sort of where the idea came from.
I like what you said there about telling stories through their gifts. Is storytelling something that's important to you, just in general?
Absolutely. It's actually something that I think I've appreciated more and more as I've grown and developed, even like through work, through my MBA applications.
Mm-hmm.
It's storytelling is huge. Right? So I can expand further, but I'd love to see where you were going with that.
No, because I myself am a spoken word artist, and storytelling, as a Caribbean man, storytelling is a part of my culture. You know, like it's a part of, you know, like my dad used to tell me stories, Anansi stories, before I'd go to bed. And just like sitting down with, just in general, my elders, like my great aunt and my grandmother, and they tell us stories about their youth or even like actual stories. You know, that was a huge part of my life growing up. And I love reading, and I love like those little anecdotal, before it was Aesop Fables, I like my Anansi stories. I love that kind of thing. So I was just wondering, do you have a relationship to like storytelling? Is that a part of you culturally or your family history? And if so, what is it?
Oh, that's great. I think even as you were talking there, I was trying to think about like where this all sort of starts for me in terms of storytelling. Because like I'm a self-described like non-creative.
Right.
Like I'm like, I don't have much creative abilities. But if there was anything that I like to do is I like to communicate, like to talk to people,
mm-hmm.
And I like to hear people's stories.
Mm.
I think that's the, like, if I think about storytelling, it's like the stories you tell ourselves and the stories that you tell others is tells you a lot about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it also defines a lot of like what matters to you, what's important to you. Because it's the ability to stitch those pieces together, those seemingly disparate pieces of yourself together into a cohesive story that really helps like ferment and structure your thinking. And I think I learned a lot of this from my parents. Especially growing up, coming to Canada, a lot of my relationship to, so I'm from Nigeria originally, and
mm-hmm.
I moved to Canada back in 2003. And I have some memories of back home, but I was about 7, almost 8 at the time. So I have some memories of my own, but a lot of what I know about the country and my experiences come from the stories that my parents have told me about their time growing up. And a lot of my appreciation for what it takes to come to a country like this has come from my stories, the stories of my parents telling me what it was like when we got here,
right.
The parts that I didn't understand growing,
mm-hmm.
Being so young.
The parts they protected you from, kind of.
Exactly.
Difficulties and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so storytelling has always been a way that I've been able to sort of like understand my history, understand my background, and also just like relate with my parents in a deep and genuine way. And I've sort of carried that on with how I relate with my friends and with close friends, with family, with new people that I meet. I wanna understand what's behind it all. Like mm-hmm. what like the story that you tell yourself is so important. It defines so much of who you are. And so I think, and storytelling isn't just written or spoken. That's what's cool. It's like you can see storytelling, deep storytelling in art, in music. I think there's so much there. So I'm totally on board.
You know, it's interesting because you said that you're not a creative, right? But yet I would, as someone who's creative, I would say, actually, no, you are a creative person. You just manifested in a different way, because creating a shop that is a digital platform in order to provide gifts, gestures for people, that's a creative thing. Like you have taken something that to you see as a flaw, which is you're not good at gift giving, and spun it into something that is very creative. Because I got into this argument a lot with people back in the day, because people would look at digital art, so computer graphics, and say that's not a creative thing at all. And I'm like, what are you talking about? If you don't have a creative mind, how can you use your programming skills to put all these ones and zeros into the right order in order for it to become this spectacular image or this spectacular interactive medium? So I would say, no, sir, you're a very creative person. You just manifest it differently. But with that, we do have to take a quick break. We are speaking to Rotimi Fadia, who is a student technologist and entrepreneur, the creator of A Gesture Shop, which is an online marketplace for one-of-a-kind digital gifts. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Here's all you need. Don't be afraid, fail. Just take the L. Gotta take control of your destiny. Gotta keep standing on your own. No matter where you be, okay.
No matter where you from,
it doesn't matter where you from, no. As long as you get yourself some.
Come on.
Yes, yes, yes. It's that time of year again. CKUT's annual funding drive. The theme for this year is CKUT Till Infinity. CKUT is a community-based university radio station, and this year's goal is $35,000. Here at Soul Perspectives, we would like our listeners and supporters to help us reach our personal goal of 10% of that, $3,500. We need just 100 people to donate $35 each. There will be prizes and surprises for all of our supporters. You can mail your checks to 3647 University Street or go to ckut.ca/donate. The fundraising drive officially runs from March 17 to 27. Please specify Soul Perspectives on your donation contribution. You can also donate at any point in time in the year. You are listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
As a black person in America, when you see the police, say a little prayer to the shepherd who let wolves guard the sheep.
Since the Ku Klux look like the Ku Klux, you ain't got a glue clues as common as glucose to glimpse them in a blue cloak. Welcome to America, the new coca. Cola, cola, with a bit of cold and coke, and the cold children of the corner get no doses from the club. Club full of killers, killing cops just because color is a credible cause to make that bird call. Incredible cause to a mother to get that curse call. That's a curve stop to a confidence that's as common as condiments. That's that kind of incompetence that'll conjure a conflict. We have over security after we built a company, hey, bro.
We're in the middle of criminals and convicts. What's a convict? To a criminal, sanctioned by the law, paid by the general. Even worse, who do you call when you're fool for the law? When you're garnering the concrete is intruding your jaw. How you shoot for the stars when peace officers are shooting at yours? How many more Malcolm Little shot or behind bars? Why the Malcolm in the middles get a shot at the bar? Part of the reason why we throw so many shots at the bar. Part of my reason when you shot me, I was getting my wife. Part of my screaming, but you take too many shots in the dark. Part of my screaming, but talking over your block is impossible. This is how it sounds when your skin starts biting you. This is how it feels when your skin starts eating you. This is a problem, not a black problem. This is a problem, not a black problem. This is a problem, not a black problem.
If you made a compensation claim for abuse at an Indian residential school, the records of your claim are secure. They will be destroyed in September 2027 unless you choose to keep them or share them. To learn more, call toll-free 1-877-635-2648 or go to myrecordsmychoice.ca.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
My guest this evening is Rotimi Fadia, who is currently pursuing his MBA at the Wharton School in Philadelphia. He built the Gesture Shop during the pandemic. And the Gesture Shop, just in case you're wondering what it is, it's a marketplace for one-of-a-kind digital gifts. So if you are an artist, a creative, someone who has something that they can provide, whether it's personalized songs, digital art, poetry, etc., you can go on to Gesture Shop and you can potentially sell that to clients looking for special personalized gifts. And what Rotimi was telling us before the break is that he is not that great at gift giving, because he didn't feel like he could find the gift that properly expresses what he wanted to say. So he would explore Amazon and he would look all over the place, but he couldn't quite find it. And so he created this space for creatives and people who were looking for creative work in order to be able to provide a more personalized shop. Gift with depth, a gift with that says more than just buying a book or just buying, you know, a piece of pottery or something that doesn't necessarily connect with the person who's giving it and the person who's receiving it. Rotimi, thank you for being here. Your bio is full. You do a lot of things. While we're talking about the topic of your bio, you worked in consulting at Accenture, and mm-hmm. Prior to that, you founded a medical device startup building a melanoma detection device called the Scan. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because it's not often that you know, we hear about somebody who was instrumental in like creating a medical device, especially one that has to do with skin cancer and finding out what that. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in that, because that is very interesting. We don't hear that a lot. I mean, we don't know a lot of things about Black folks, but we done invented so many things. Just the stoplights that everybody uses every day. It should have been logical. I mean, red, yellow, and green. That's like 99% of the African and Caribbean flags. Like, you got either red, yellow, or green in there. And so many people don't know that it was a Black man that created the stoplights. You know, among so many other different things, like we have to do a lot of research and then we find out, oh, actually the patent belongs to this Black man in history. And, you know, so this is very interesting. You are part of a group that build a melanoma detection device called the Scan. So tell us a little bit about that and how you got involved in that.
Absolutely. It's been a few years now, but I'll take it back. So this actually started, I'll start off with sort of the context here. So I did my undergrad at McMaster University in Hamilton. I was studying electrical and biomedical engineering there, initially with the desire to, you know, go to med school, become a doctor, kind of be on the patient care side of things. Mm-hmm. I think as I kind of went through school, I realized like I actually preferred building things and influencing the world and medicine and healthcare and through that, through engineering and through design, as opposed to through patient care. And so instead of pursuing medicine, I sort of kind of delved deeper into my work in engineering. And in my final year of undergrad, we all do a capstone, which is essentially like a final project. Okay. A culmination of everything that we've learned in school. And we're tasked with a very simple question, which is design and build something that solves a problem in healthcare. And so me and three other colleagues, three other students came together and we were trying to figure out which problem to explore. And one of the ones that we identified was melanoma detection. And melanoma, for those who don't know, it's an aggressive form of skin cancer. It's the deadliest form of skin cancer. And essentially it starts off as a lesion on the skin. but it's cancerous, and then it's able to metastasize. It's able to essentially go from the skin to other parts of the body,
right.
Where then it can form it can start to do serious damage to your organs and other parts of the body. So yeah. It's what makes melanoma unique is its ability to do that. It's ability to metastasize and to move to other parts of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the, we were curious about this problem. We learned about it in anatomy. And the techniques, the technique for detecting melanoma, the simplest one, most common one is just an eye test, right? The doctor looks at the lesion, they assess it on a set of criteria known as the ABCDE of melanoma. And they essentially use their best judgment to determine if this is something worth exploring further.
Right.
And we felt, could we create something that helped doctors do this test, do a test that's more objective, that's more quantitative, that might help give them another means of assessing whether a lesion is cancerous or needs to be examined further.
Yeah.
And so what we did was we actually found some research online from a paper that had been published a couple years before that showed that you could detect melanoma based on its temperature profile. If you were able to cool a region of skin down and watch its temperature recover
mm-hmm.
back to ambient temperature, you would see a difference between a cancerous lesion and a non-cancerous one and how they recover.
Wow.
And there's technical reasons, there's biological reasons why that is, mainly, you know, the metabolic rate of certain cells, the additional blood flow. So there are reasons why this occurs, but this was another way that you could identify cancerous lesions. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to see, is this something we could actually build something for that could be used by a physician? Because at the time, you needed like a $50,000 piece of equipment to do this type of assessment. And so we started working on this problem as part of our capstone, and we were able to build a prototype for a device that used very low-cost electrical devices,
mm-hmm.
Highly sensitive thermally sensitive devices.
Mm-hmm.
We built out an array that we could use on skin to detect those temperature changes, and then an algorithm to assess whether or not it was significant. So that was our capstone project. I worked on that with a group of three others, Michael Pratik and Shabbat, over my final year in my undergrad, and then over the summer actually as well, we entered a incubator. So one of the things that we realized was like this might have some commercial viability, right? Take this beyond just a class project. So we started. This was kind of my first foray into entrepreneurship in general.
Yeah.
But we entered an incubator. We worked on it over the summer. We ended up later that year. We ended up being awarded the James Dyson Design Award for it. And so that was sort of the origin story of that project.
Wow. And why did you guys decide to do melanoma?
So. I think the main reason for melanoma is because of it's the deadliest form of skin cancer. So there are other forms of skin cancer as well, but most of the other forms do not metastasize. They don't spread to other parts of the body,
right?
Or they have a very low chance of doing that. And so the likelihood of death from them is actually much lower.
Right.
And melanoma accounts for a very small percentage of total skin cancer cases, but the majority of skin cancer deaths, I believe somewhere in the ballpark of like 80% of skin cancer deaths are due to melanoma. So we wanted to tackle that problem. In addition, the technology worked, seemed, at least from the research that we saw in some of our early findings, the technology would work best for melanoma because it's also the most aggressive, so it would actually likely show the strongest temperature profile as well.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations for that. That's pretty dope as an invention. So you studied engineering. This was a part of, and originally you wanted to go into patient care, but now are you still wanting to work in terms of the, because you're pursuing your MBA, so your master's in business administration. So how do you foresee combining your two degrees, and like is like creating technology for the medical care system, is that something that you're still interested in?
I think it is. I mean, I will say that I think my interests have broadened a bit, as you can tell, right? Because my first like business slash startup of venture there was healthcare. My second one is more like e-commerce, web, creative space. I think I'm sort of the way I viewed. And I've transformed the way I've kind of looked at what my long-term career goals look like over time. But my goal is just to kind of explore the things that interest me, explore the things that inspire me, and let those different experiences sort of shape how I view the world over mm-hmm. time. So one of the things that I'm really passionate about right now is, yes, I'm absolutely passionate about building and solving problems and building technology. Mm-hmm. And my experience in engineering and in healthcare feeds into that, right? So if that's an opportunity, if I find the right opportunity to build patient-centric or physician-centric healthcare solutions, then I know that I have the background experience to sort of tap into that. But I don't know. I guess that's a short answer. I don't know yet where the life takes me next. I think one thing I know I am passionate about is building things, so identifying and solving problems, mm-hmm. And using technology to do that. And I'm willing to sort of let the other pieces sort of work themselves out as my curiosity leads me.
Fair enough. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Rotimi Fadia, who is a multi-talented individual, claims he's not a creative, definitely a creative individual. You got to be creative to build a medical device that can detect melanoma. So just in case you're tuning in for the first time, you are listening to Soul Perspectives. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You're listening to CKUT now on 90.3 FM. Babylon is falling. Babylon falling. Babylon falling. Babylon is falling. Babylon is falling. Babylon falling. Babylon falling. Right. Most of us can't realize our world on this earth seen down pressure, man, I kept alive. He give you peace of the past. He close on the eye. This can't maintain, some things are too straight. We need our seed to grow against the grain. Empires will crumble and fade away, or will I have to change? Either way, Jah, Babylon is falling. Volcano bubbling over to take it to the heights. You want to step like a soldier. Revolution divine. Jaja, give us the sign. Yeah. Who got the eyes and let them see? Who got the ears and let them hear? Here we go again. Tell them say my love will never die. Where do we go? Oh, along and winding road. The loud and
on the number one song, see? Now listen to Miss Whitney Houston. Come with
Yo, this is Whitney Houston. Yes, Massive, this is the original vocalist. I like to say rest in peace to Dennis Brown. If tomorrow is Judgment Day,
light is in the air,
and I'm standing on the front line.
Hey, yo!
And the Lord asked me what I did with my life, I would say, Wyclef murdered a sound boy.
Yo.
If I wake up in World War III,
if you believe in the Most High, hands in the air.
I see destruction and poverty.
East Coast, West Coast, hey, hey.
And I feel like I wanna go home.
Southside.
It's okay, as long as Wyclef is with me.
Northside, Jamaican, Caribbean, Earshot, hands in the air. Everybody, hey.
My love is your dub, and your dub is my dub. It will take an eternity to break us. And the chains of I'ma start
listen to
hold us. My sound is your sound, cause the refugee sound is the only sound. It will take an eternity to break us, and a million sound boys will die before us.
Sufi woman, bring me room until I fall asleep up on your bosom. Sufi woman, you're a lion, but you walk around so unassuming. Go shine your eyes, you don't put it on me. Put the liquor spell on me. What thing you do to me? You no go walk on me. You go see. You go night, night, night. You go shake it. You go see that goddess in La Bruja, eh, La Bruja. She never die, she could die, my room. La Bruja, eh, La Bruja. She never die, she could die, my room. La Bruja, eh, La Bruja. Every day she dies, I see y'all eh, y'all Sufi woman, bring me room till I fall asleep up on your bosom. Sufi woman, you're a lion, but you walk around so unassuming. Gypsy, gypsy woman, we go dance until we dizzy. Gypsy woman, know your power got me tipsy.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are speaking to the founder of the Gesture Shop, Rotimi Fadia. And what the Gesture Shop does is connects creative with consumers in order to create one-of-a-kind digital gifts called gestures. Rotimi, thank you so much for being here. Always a pleasure, man. Like, I really have enjoyed your journey and what you've been doing. You know, you moved from Ontario to Philadelphia. You were doing during school. You finished off with this melanoma detection device, and you originally wanted to be in patient care. Now you're more in technology. Now you're doing an entrepreneurship company called the Gesture Shop. Like, you are really allowing yourself to expand your webs, and people might look at that and be like, oh, you're kind of all over the place. But to me, it's all a part of everything. Can be interconnected if you're smart enough, and you seem to be the person who's smart enough. The Gesture Shop. I want us to talk about the Gesture Shop. So you've told us a little bit about how you had the idea before the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, you know, 2020, 2021 is when you started saying, okay, let me try this thing. What does the Gesture Shop actually do? And what are some of the things that we can see when we come onto the website and we look at it?
Yeah, so the Gesture Shop is, a technical way to describe it. It's a two-sided marketplace, right? So you have buyers on one side looking for something, sellers on the other, creatives who are offering something akin to like an Etsy type platform.
That's what I was wondering. Like, what's the difference between Gesture Shop and Etsy?
Yeah, so I think the way I sometimes describe it is Gesture Shop is sort of like the Etsy for digital gifts. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, I think where we try to focus in on is, one, the uniqueness of the gifts that we're offering. So it's very much about one of a kind, custom made, commissioned products and digital products. And the second piece is the creativity of the offerings on the platform. Mm-hmm. The offerings are curated. Each of the creatives are bringing kind of a unique flair. Try to avoid sort of like the commodification of different things. Right? So everything on there sort of has a different feel and flavor to it. Kind of getting back to that initial premise of what Gesture Shop is, right? It's a marketplace, right? So you have a variety of sellers on there offering different products. And the products tend to be, right now, the products mainly sit within the art space, so digital art of different kinds, whether that's portrait, whether that's the picture of your dog, comic book, comic strips, different styles of paintings. So kind of different creatives bringing their own unique flair, mm-hmm. and their own idea as to what type of art they would want to help you create. Mm-hmm. And then you have sort of musicians, right? So people creating music, whether that's acoustic or professionally produced or more like vocals. So you have different artists who sing and can provide those services. And people will write full on like custom written songs, lyrics and all for people. So that's a common thing that we see. We even have a guy who does improv songs. So he's an improv comedian, and he does songs like in real time. So he'll take sort of the stuff you give him, and he'll sort of strum it out and produce a song.
Wow.
In real time. So yeah, like different flavors, and that's sort of what makes the platform unique is the ability to explore these things. And then you have poetry. I think that's the other main branch. That's both written and performed poetry, right? So getting it depends on your interest in art styles and the type of poetry that you're looking for, but we do have sort of poetry as well there. So those are the three main buckets of areas that we have right now. I think as the platform grows and as we integrate, as we get more creatives on there, we'll start to see other things kind of come up. But those are the three initial areas that the platform provides.
How important is it for you to have BIPOC voices represented on your platform? Is it something that you're conscious about?
It is something I'm conscious about. I think from the start, I've aimed to and wanted to tap into sort of minority, Black, Indigenous, people of color voices and creative abilities. I think there's amazing stories to tell there, and you'll see that kind of through the platform as well. Some of the people that are on there, I think that's one of the things that's made coming to Philly really unique and special is there is such a vibrant and strong creative community, especially Black creative community here that I've been able to tap into, that I've been able to get support from, that I've been able to learn from. And that's been super cool. In fact, earlier last year and earlier this last month, started hosting these showcases as part of the platform. So live events where people can come out and hear artists perform their stuff. And some of these artists are available on the platform as well. So you can hear them perform. And if there's like, you know, you have a friend's birthday or significant other's anniversary or something coming up that you want to try, you want to use their art to communicate something one of a kind or something special,
yeah.
You have that opportunity as well. So also just finding ways to tap into the community to showcase and elevate and broadcast their creative abilities and their talents. That has also been an important part of what the platform represents.
How do you put a price on your digital art? Like that as an artist myself, I've always had difficulty with figuring out, like, how do I charge people for this? And for digital art, I mean, you know, the people already have a hard time, especially when it's new work. People have a hard time charging, and like, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about it, or you've at least seen the memes about, oh yeah, you can do this for exposure, and then people are just like, you know that we can die for more for exposure, right? Exposure doesn't pay the bills and stuff like that. How does Gesture Shop like provide some kind of way in which the provider, the creative provider, can come up with a price or some kind of metric in order to be like, okay, this is generally, say for example, someone wants to have like a custom poem made, and then you have a poet that's new to the platform, and they're like, I have no idea how to charge for this. Do I charge by the hour? Do I charge per poem? Is there some kind of metric? Is there some kind of guideline for a creative to know, like, how do I charge for this?
Yeah, that's almost a meta question there. You know?
Right.
It's like, what is the, and it's funny because we like, what is the value of a piece of art? That question, I think, is a philosophical one in a sense. And funny enough, it's kind of a topical one at this point.
Yeah.
You look at, I don't know if you're familiar with like NFTs.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around what is this NFT business?
Right. Cause so maybe I can do a bit of a segue, and talk about that as well as we sort of talk about prices of art in general. But, NFTs are essentially, NFTs represents a non-fungible token. Anytime I talk about Gesture Shop, this almost inevitably comes up because mm-hmm. they're like, oh, are you doing NFTs? But, NFTs are, basically like unique identifiers tied to some sort of digital medium. Mm-hmm. Digital art product, right? So a lot of NFTs these days are images, right? And they are uniquely identified and tied to the blockchain so that you cannot replicate them, right?
Okay.
If I own, so you can actually own that digital, that digital asset based on the immutable blockchain technology. It allows you to show proof of ownership that you're the true owner of that. As opposed to you just like copying the file that somebody else has.
Right.
What we've seen and what we're seeing with NFTs is that, like, that question of like, how much is a digital piece of art worth?
Yeah.
And to some degree that it's like, it's in the eye of the beholder. It's like, how much is somebody willing to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing NFTs that are like going for hundreds of thousands of dollars for individual files, right? So
mm-hmm.
I think I brought that up because I think that's always been the case with art, is that like art intrinsically has this sort of unique ability, like unique pricing ability, because its utility is not, it's not explicit the way it is with other things.
Right.
And we as humans have this, I think, this innate appreciation, this innate like energy that we can feel with different art, and
mm-hmm.
that impacts like how much is that worth to somebody? And so I think for when I talk to, and specifically coming back to Gesture Shop, when I talk to artists about their art and pricing, a lot of it I think is first just like, how much time is this going to take you? How much energy is this going to take you? How important is this in your life? Like, if you're doing this casually, like doing this once in a while, maybe you price it more because you just, it's something you want to do for fun. You don't want it to be too stressful. And that's totally fine. And if it's more of something that you want like volume on, then maybe you price it similarly in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that I tell people is you should always price it at least at the point where you don't feel bad about doing the work. Like you should never be doing work, like creative work specifically, out of a sense of obligation and compulsion.
Okay.
Figure out, and that might take a bit of testing. Like you do one and you're like, okay, no, that was too much work and too stressful for the amount of time, like for what I was getting paid. Yeah. They have complete autonomy to set and change their prices as they see fit. So I also tell them to try to be modular in how they approach pricing. Right.
What does modular mean?
I just mean breaking it up and so that it's incremental pricing if you can, right? So start with something small and that you sort of have a decent idea of how much time it'll take you, and then add elements onto it. So if you're doing a piece of art, maybe you charge like a set price for like one figure. And then you add an additional cost for each additional person that they want, or you add an additional cost if they want a background, or if they want it to be in color versus black and white, if they want it to be X detail versus Y detail. Mm-hmm. Just try to break it up, because I think people also get a better sense of like the incremental effort that they're going to have to take. If you just say, I'm going to draw whatever you want for $100, and that becomes really hard to know like what this, like, how much effort does that actually entail? Mm-hmm. But if I said, I want you to draw, you know, a 6x8 portrait of one person on a static background, head to shoulder, right? Like then you have a much clearer idea of how much effort that's going to take you, how much that's worth, how much that time is worth to you. And so I try to help them think in that regard. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think it is truly a personal decision, not just in terms of your time, but the value of your craft, the time that's gone into you becoming the artist that you are today, and providing that value as well. So, well, that's one of the big things that I care about on the platform, is I try to make sure people are setting the prices at a place that they will enjoy the process. You know what I mean? That I'd hate for people to start creating art out of compulsion. Like, oh, well.
Out of necessity.
Like, out of necessity. Yeah. Like, I want you to create art at a price point that you feel good about.
Yeah.
More so than anything else.
Yeah. That's interesting, because it kind of lines up with how I, whenever someone comes to me and they're like, oh, I don't know how to like price this. How am I going to pay? And I say to them, you need to break it down like how a regular person going to a quote unquote regular job, you got to start with your per hour rate. What do you want to, how many hours does this particular piece take you? Say, for example, a piece of poetry. Well, it'll take me 8 to 10 hours to write, edit, and do a good 3 to 5 minute piece of poetry. And I say, okay, cool. But what about when you're testing it? Okay, what do you mean testing it? Okay, well, you have to test it. You have to test it on your audience. So you got to go and perform it in front of the audience, and then come back and write again, and then perform it again and write again, because people don't understand that the writing process of a poem doesn't stop once you put down the pen. Because if you're a performing artist, like, you might go in front of an audience and the parts of the poem that you want to hit, it doesn't hit the way that you want it to when you're performing it. So you have to go and modify and change. And even, like, me, for example, I will be rewriting the poem while I'm performing the poem. Because... Because I see the audience reacting in a certain type of way, so I spin it in a different way. So there's so much mechanisms working, and people who want to set a price point don't necessarily think about all that stuff. So they say, okay, it doesn't really take you 8 to 10 hours. It actually takes you 20 to 25 hours to write a poem and have it like set properly. So okay, what's your per hour rate? What are you comfortable with earning per hour? And then I go back, how much, what is your degree? And I say, it doesn't matter what your degree is. Even if your degree is something completely out of left field and it has nothing to do with poetry, what's your degree? How much did you spend on your degree? You have to take a little bit of money out of that degree, because you want to earn back your money from your degree. Put it in there. Okay, so you got your per hour is $30 per hour. So if it's 20 to 25 hours, let's say it's 20 hours, that's a $600 job right there. Boom. Right there, you have your first price point. And so for me, it's like, you know, do you do consultation? Is it a personalized, which is why you had asked me, you had approached me to open up like my own part of the gesture shop. And I'm like, that was a big part of how I couldn't imagine, because I'm like, I don't want to outprice myself, but at the same time, I don't want to be one of those people that you're talking about where, you know, you don't want to be miserable because of the work that you're producing. You want to be happy with what you're doing. So there's so many different things that I'm thinking about. I'm like, you know, break it down per hour, then break it down for your materials. If you're a visual artist, you know, what does your material cost? Are you using a laptop computer? Is it a Mac versus a Dell? Because that's a different price point. Because Mac costs a certain kind of money, Dell costs a certain kind of money. What programs are you using? Are you using Adobe Photo Suite? That costs a certain amount of money per month. There's so many different factors that a lot of people don't think about that goes into all of these different things. If you're recording, if you're doing a voice recording or a song for someone, you know how much equipment that person has in order for them to produce that little 3-minute song? Like, it's not just, I take my little cheap microphone and just sing into it. It's like there's a whole program, and there's layering of instrument. Like, is a person going to give you an instrumental? There's so much that has to do with it that a lot of people don't think about. And young artists, I find that they're not necessarily thinking about everything that they've acquired, all the experience that they've acquired. You know, I go back to this story that I don't know how much truth there is to it, but it feels pretty valid, where I believe it's Pablo Picasso is sitting at a cafe and a woman comes up to him and she's like, "Oh my God, I love your work. Could you draw something really quickly for me? And, you know, something that I could hold and keep." And so he goes, he takes out a napkin and he sketched something out for about 5 to 10 minutes. And he says, "Okay, yeah." And she's about to take it from him and he's like, "Yeah, it's $5,000. And she's like, "What? But you just sketched that out in like 5 minutes?" And he was like, no. "I spent the last 30 years of my life perfecting my art in order to be able to do this, which now costs $5,000. You know? And it's like, we don't realize that the amount of time that we spent on our craft is actually billable hours. It's a part of our billable hours. It's just like a doctor doesn't get $100,000 a year because, you know, he just comes in and diagnoses you. Like, a doctor gets paid because over the past X amount of years of his life, he's been doing this and he's become, you know, if he's a specialist, he's become very much specialized and he knows his craft, which is why he can charge the amount that he charges per year to the hospital. Or if you go in for a visit and you have to pay, that's why that costs that much money. It's because hours and hours of beating on their craft and they know what they're doing, you know? Yeah. But gone on a little bit long. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Rotimi Fadia, who is the founder of Gesture Shop. He is a student, technologist, entrepreneur, currently pursuing his MBA at Wharton School in Philadelphia. Also, he founded a medical device startup building a melanoma detection device called Scan, and in his spare time loves to play sports, especially basketball. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Here's the thing.
Fantasy as a nightmare. They took me complete because my love comes first. Desire are gonna kill me and it is getting worse.
Then everything I touch will turn to gold. Everything I touch will turn to gold. Everything I touch will turn to gold. And it's okay, say what you gotta say, 'cause you don't know, yeah, you don't know it. But everything I touch will turn to gold. And it's okay, say what you gotta say, 'cause you don't know, yeah, you don't know it. But everything I touch will turn to gold. Will turn to gold.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My guest this evening is Rotimi Fadia, who is a student, technologist, and entrepreneur currently pursuing his MBA at the Wharton School in Philadelphia. In addition, he built the Gesture Shop, an online marketplace for one-of-a-kind digital gifts. And what this shop does, it connects creatives with consumers to create the digital gifts called gestures. And gestures can be personalized songs, digital art, poetry, and more. Rotimi, thank you so much for being here again. You know, gratitude is the most important thing that we need to give people. So I give you gratitude for taking time to be here this evening. All right, so you've explored a lot of different things in quite a few different arenas. What are some other things that you would like to explore in the upcoming years?
That's a great question. I think there are a couple of areas that maybe professionally and personally that I'm looking to explore. I think professionally, part of what I'm doing with my MBA is you know, kind of doubling down on both innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship, right? So learning skills and meeting people who can sort of help me own that craft, learning more about technology. I think some areas that I'm looking to explore more is just like what it takes to build large scale, like world changing products. Mm-hmm. And so getting into that, I think another area that I'm interested in is in sort of like entrepreneurship outside of like back home, entrepreneurship on the continent. I think I've met a lot of people at school who worked in either in startups and entrepreneurship or in investing capacities back in Africa and in Nigeria. And so just learning from them, seeing ways I can sort of learn more and be involved in that space. So That's another area that I'm super interested in as well. I'm also, I think, with Gesture Shop and exploring sort of that digital space, like crypto and the NFT space has also been really fascinating to me. I've been spending some time just sort of learning more about the space. So I'm kind of enjoying that. That's why the NFT thing is so pointed, because that comes up quite a bit. So I'm enjoying that. I think... On a more personal basis, getting more into sort of content creation of some sort. I said I'm not a creative, but I don't think I am. But I've thought about sort of exploring, like either podcasting or just like video creation and just talking to people and recording some of that. Like that's what's so cool about this experience, is because it's been such an enjoyable conversation, and it'd be fun to do something like this more often. So I'm kicking around the can with some ideas there, but I think those are some of the ways, the areas that I'm looking to sort of grow in and expand. I guess overall, just as a kind of a way to wrap that thought up, is I've sort of embraced the idea that like you sort of have a general plan, you set a path, and then you keep your eyes open and you sort of let your curiosity always sort of guide you, mm-hmm. let your curiosity take you where it will. And usually that's a positive path. As long as you're disciplined, as long as you're consistent, like the curiosity can really take you to some interesting places as well.
And what are some potential topics that you think that you'd like to cover in maybe podcasting?
Oh, man. I think it's funny because we talked about stories. Storytelling. I think stories and storytelling. And one of the reasons why is because coming to school here, coming to Wharton, coming to the States, you meet a lot of people from very, very diverse backgrounds. But you also meet a lot of people with what I consider traditional backgrounds, like very, like, you think you know them. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this person, you know, this person is a banker from New York, or this person, like, went to this school and then did this and then did that, right? Like, you think you almost typecast them, right, in a sense, because of their background. And one of the amazing things about being here is once you actually, like, peel that back and have a conversation with somebody, you realize there's a lot more to people than, quote unquote, what's on their resume or like that 30-second pitch that they might tell you. So I think that's one idea that I'm really exploring is just having those conversations with people where you go beyond the surface, you go beyond that quote unquote image that we put out there, mm-hmm. and you really explore what's behind it all. So I think it's kind of come off the conversation that I've had here, but I think a lot of people would get a lot out of just seeing what's kind of behind that curtain, what's kind of behind the pitch.
So you would have guests and to tell their stories.
Yeah. But I think it would be twofold, right? I think I'd want people to not just explore the stories, but also like how people see them. Like I want to create the contrast between the person that you might see, you know, on LinkedIn or on social media, or if you just met them, and the person that actually is behind that.
Who are you really?
I had a name. I don't know if I'll give you the name that jumped in my mind.
Okay.
I'm a little
the like, scoop. Like, you're giving us the scoop.
Such a fresh idea. Yeah, it's an insider scoop. It's called Behind the Pitch.
Okay.
So behind that 30-second elevator pitch, like,
right,
I want to explore who that person is.
That is so interesting, because I find that with social media, people are so caught up in like creating a very specific narrative for themselves, and you oftentimes don't get to see the human being behind, you know, these pretty social media posts, these beautiful pictures that have been edited out the wazoo, you know, like, who are you really at your core? And like, that's a part of what we're doing here on Soul P ever since the pandemic started. You know, our guests might have a particular service that they're providing, a particular product that they're giving, but who are you? Like, who are you outside of this particular thing? Like, how has this, you know, like, we start off with the question, how are you doing since this pandemic? You know, because it's important to get in touch with us as human beings. A lot of the times we discuss mental health on the show. I've had a few experts not only on mental health but sexual health, and we get to know these people, and what's your journey, you know? And I think that is the most fascinating story that you can tell, your journey from who you were to who you are now. And I love this parallel of like, who have you put out to social media? Who are we seeing? And then who's the real you? Who's the real person behind all of this? And I think that's a very interesting idea. I'd love for you to pursue it so we can listen in. I've gotten into podcasts as of late. A couple of friends of mine are like, Kim, you need to listen to podcasts and stuff like that. And so I would definitely add that to my repertoire of podcasts that I've listened to. So yeah, endorsed. Soul, you get a Soul P. Kim Dominique Ferguson endorsement.
Eesh, that's what I want to hear. Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
I'll definitely have you on there then.
Hey, I love talking. If I didn't love talking, I wouldn't be here on the radio. So, you know, you get me started and we can keep on going.
Awesome.
Well, listen, we're coming up to the end of the show now, but how do people get in touch with you? How do people sign up for the Gesture Shop? Let people know how to get to you.
Awesome. So you can find me on Instagram at Rotimi Fadia, RotimiFadiya. You can find Gesture Shop at thegestureshop.com. So the gesture as GESTURE, shop, SHOP.com. If you're interested to sign up, you can either reach out to me directly, either social media or LinkedIn, or you can sign up via the website. There's an online form there that you fill out and we'll reach out to get you set up. If you're looking for a gift for, you know, your significant other, your mom for Mother's Day, anything, your parents for their anniversary, anything that you're looking for, something kind of out of something unique, novel, special, check out the Gesture Shop. You'll see things there that you may not see anywhere else. So, that's a quick plug.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Rotimi, for taking the time to out of your schedule, between school and entrepreneurship and everything that you're doing, because I've seen you on social media. You're pushing the Gesture Shop. So I know you're gearing up to do big things. And now you're with the podcast that hopefully will be coming out within the next year or so. Looking forward to hearing that. Putting the pressure on you, brother. Putting the pressure on you. Gently, though. I gave you a year. Yes, looking forward to hearing more from you. And, if you have anything in the future, just hit us up and come back on the show, because we're always here. Well, thanks again.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. And you said gratitude's a big thing, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be on this show and to have a chance to talk to you and your audience. It's been a really fun conversation.
Bless. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, well, you're gonna have to listen back at 8:31 p.m. to our archives, ckut.ca/archives, for the full show. We were talking to Rotimi Fadia, who is a student, technologist, and entrepreneur. He is currently pursuing his MBA at the Wharton School in Philadelphia, and he built the Gesture Shop, which is an online marketing place for one-of-a-kind gifts. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. You can tune in every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. to listen to us, Soul Perspectives, and this has been a CKUT presentation on 90.3 FM.
About the flyest thing that life could ever bring, like fresh air to me, the blood I bleed sent to me, and I wanna build with you. Since I've seen you, we've been people. The softest cloud, a virgin in my eyes, an angel just my size. Wish that I could fall in love with you again, and I wanna be with you.
Since I've seen you,
we've been people.
You're my equal. This love is.
Yes, yes, yes. It's that time of year again. CKUT's annual funding drive. The theme for this year is CKUT Till Infinity. CKUT is a community-based university radio station, and this year's goal is $35,000. Here at Soul Perspectives, we would like our listeners and supporters to help us reach our personal goal of 10% of that, $3,500. We need just 100 people to donate $35 each. There will be prizes and surprises for all of our supporters. You can mail your checks to 3647 University Street or go to ckut.ca/donate. The fundraising drive officially runs from March 17 to 27. Please specify Soul Perspectives on your donation contribution. You can also donate at any point in time in the year. You are listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
When you tell your girlfriend, "Get changed, you dress like a tramp. Change your password so I can see your messages." When are you going to change your mind, you stubborn idiot? Change your attitude when you talk to me. Change your friends. You better change your tone of voice. It's not up to her to change. It's up to you. Violence against women stops now. Talk about it. Do something about it. And call SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The sound of this doorbell may seem pretty ordinary to you. Until you realize that it's Graham, who's 75 years old and still delivering meals to people in need in his neighborhood. And that for many of them, it's the most comforting sound they'll hear all day. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, sir, you already know what it is.
What it is.
This is Jason Alexander on behalf of THD Entertainment letting y'all know we're on CKUT 90.3 all month with the Montreal Sessions, myself, DJ Rossi Ross, and of course, Colin Hassel on the drums.
Yes, sir, Montreal. That's Whose Vibe Is It Anyway? Mark your calendars, 3 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday through the month of March. Hit us up on IG at THD Entertainment. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear, what's popping in your neighborhood.
Listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascoltați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90.3 FM CKUT.
Bună seara, dragi prieteni, bine ați venit la emisiunea Marca Ro pe 90.3 FM Montreal și la Asociația Jurnaliștilor Români de Pretutindeni. În această seară am un invitat special și intră cu adevărat special, un invitat care ne vorbește din Ucraina, din Cernăuți. Iurie Levcic este nu numai